Mark chapter 1, commencing at verse 4 to 11. If you would like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 1012. And so John, that is John the Baptist, came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we? Let's just pause for a few moments, just be still, and ask that God might speak to us as individuals as we meet in his name. Lord God, we thank you for the powerful words of Scripture. And thank you for the powerful work of your Holy Spirit bringing these words to life. May you speak to us, we pray, this morning during this time now, that we might apply your words to our lives to your service. Amen. Well, it doesn't happen very often, but I was here on Thursday morning doing the Holy Communion service, and just beforehand I was talking to someone, and they were asking me what the theme was for my sermon this morning. So they were obviously looking ahead and trying to decide whether they wanted to turn up or not. That was my interpretation anyway. They were a little bit concerned when I told them that the title for my sermon this morning was "I Did It My Way." And I think their concern was mainly about the fact that I might burst into song, which wouldn't be fun for anyone. Being no Frank Sinatra, I'll spare you that one. For anyone who's a bit younger, I know other people have sung that song through the years as well. It's one that, interestingly, is quite often chosen for funeral services. But I'm not sure it's particularly apt for a Christian funeral service. I did it my way. To be successful in life, we need motivation, determination, often a bit of something just that little bit different. The budding protégés of Lord Sugar on The Apprentice take great delight in setting themselves apart, selling their particular attributes and characteristics, self-made men and women. Many sports stars and celebrities can scream with delight, "I did it my way." But is that the best postscript for the life of a follower of Jesus? John the Baptist, well, he certainly did it his way in many regards, with his camel hair coat and his diet of locusts and wild honey. But he'll ultimately be remembered for doing things God's way. God had a role for him to play, revealed to his parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, and fulfilled through John's witness and John's ministry. He did it God's way. Jesus, in his uniqueness, could rightly claim, "I did it my way." But in reality, of course, absolutely everything he did was motivated by the desire to honour his Father in heaven. In his early years, others made decisions for him. Mary and Joseph faced the sort of challenge that all parents face of giving their children the best start in life, instilling that sense of right and wrong, although how much Jesus needed that is open to debate. At the age of 12, we get the first glimpse of his focus and his particular mentality, when having caused great distress to his parents by going missing without leave at Passover, Remember the story, they'd all traipsed down to the city for the Passover feast, all begun to journey home, and it took 2 or 3 days to realise that Jesus wasn't with them. He'd stayed behind in the city. And when they eventually caught up with him, rather flustered and concerned, his response was, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" He was doing it God's way. At his baptism, it's not as if Jesus needed to be baptized in terms of an act of repentance and cleansing. And yet his submission to John's baptism was a sign of his submission to his heavenly Father. Once again, he was saying, "I'll do it his way." If you want added reinforcement, we go into John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 19. "The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing." We have Jesus so in tune with the Father, choosing to honour him every step of the way, all the way to the cross via the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cries out in anguish, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. And yet, not my will, but yours be done." And God is pleased with what he sees. It's important to note that God is pleased with what he sees before Jesus has done anything significant. At his baptism, we read that this voice from heaven cries out, "You are my Son, whom I loved, and with you I am well pleased." A reminder to all of us that the Father's love isn't dependent on our success. God is love. And wouldn't we love to hear that sort of commendation from our Heavenly Father? "You are my Son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Do we want to please God? Will we choose to please God and go his way as we really get going into this new year? And what might that actually mean to us? It will mean different things to different people based on our life circumstances, the particular challenges that we're facing. Maybe for some of us it will be about standing up against some form of injustice. Maybe for some of us it will be about showing forgiveness to someone who's wronged us. Maybe it'll be about a sacrificial giving of our time, our energy, our resources to other people. Maybe it'll be about making a priority of spiritual practices, taking time in God's word, spending time in prayer, in reflection, in silence, time in fellowship with others. How will we show that we're wanting to go God's way in those things? Maybe it'll be about stepping out into a new area of ministry, a new area of service. Maybe it'll be about refusing to compromise on our values in the workplace or in some particular group or committee we're a part of. Maybe it will be about living the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives in challenging situations, showing that patience, that faithfulness, that kindness, whatever it might be. Maybe for some it will be this year nailing our colours to a mast before others close to us. Taking that step, maybe some people here who have never taken that step of baptism themselves, of saying, "Yes, I want to be known as a child of God." Maybe for some it'll be taking a step of confirmation, confirming the promises made on your behalf by parents near your birth and saying, "Yes, this is my life, this is my faith." I'm not sure what the start of the year has been like for you. Once the New Year celebrations are over and the children are back at school, it's easy to rush headlong into the year with very little time to reflect. And yet that time of reflection is so important. I was working a little bit between Christmas and New Year and didn't start back here until Wednesday. And that meant that by Tuesday, both the boys had gone back to school. Shelley was working a full day. And it meant I had the luxury of a day off to myself. And so I loaded the dog into the car and went across the Severn Bridge to Tintern. And I'm not one for spending lots of money, but this was the best £6.50 I've ever spent going across the bridge. I did an inspiring 7.5 mile circular walk along the river and up through the woods along the Offa's Dyke Trail. And it was fantastic. I was really overwhelmed with the beauty of God's creation. The sun was shining, the sky was blue. It was an ideal day. It felt good to be alive. And that gave me space to reflect and to pray and to commit my year to God. It was an I'll do it your way sort of conversation. And on my walk, I was walking along the river first of all, up through the woods and then along the top. And there's one particular viewpoint, and it's known as the Devil's Pulpit. And legend has it that it's so named because the devil would look down over the abbey below and seek to lure the monks away from their noble work. I guess it reminds us of a spiritual battle we engage in whenever we say yes to God, whenever we say, I'll do it your way. There's one who wants us to go our own way and cut God out of the picture. Well, further on my walk, as I came back down into the valley, the footpath took me through the graveyard of St. Michael's Church in Tintern, which is a tiny, I think, medieval chapel. And there were these little prayer cards. You won't be able to see them from there, but all will fit together in a moment. There were these little prayer cards that you could take away, and I picked one up and read one. And for me, the prayer that's on this card sums up what it's about, to choose to go God's way in a new year, to say, I'll do it your way. Because we have choices to make, don't we, as to where we put our priorities. And this is a prayer that may be familiar to many of you. Someone at the 9:15 service said to me afterwards, that's a prayer that we used to have on the last day of term, in the summer term, as we had a chapel service. We had one of these traditional chapel services where all the songs, all of the words, absolutely everything was the same every single year. But this prayer was read as a sort of sending out, a sort of commissioning to the students as they went off into their summer holidays, and for some into new experiences of university or jobs or whatever. So I'm going to read it now, and then there's this fantastic presentation of it written by John Rutter, which is sung by the choir of Clare College in Cambridge, and it will give us a chance just to reflect on these words a little bit more and take them on board for our own lives as we say, I'll do it your way to God at the start of this year. So I'll read it first of all and then ask Helen to put this song onto the screen. Go out into a world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to good. Do not return evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God be upon you. Let's just reflect as we watch this and hear this together.
Into the world.
There's a third response. Let's stand. We're going to sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be." It expresses that desire that every single part of our lives is given over to God. Let's stand as we sing.